Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A Living History production.
Hello and welcome to a very special episode of the podcast. We're talking today about a brand new tour we have. And we don't often do this. We don't often come on the podcast just to talk about a specific tour. But this one is unique and something special, and I think will make for an interesting discussion in its own right. We're talking about our Battle Tactics on the Western Front tour, which is a unique tour where we walk the ground in depth. And joining me is the man who will be leading that tour. It's Pete Smith. Pete, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Matt. Good to be back on the show. And great to be talking about this this new tour that we're going to be, I'm going to be guiding.
Yeah, I wish I was coming on it. That's the first thing. I'm jealous that I'm not going to be there with you, but I've had my hand in it in terms of the design, and it's something we've been working on for a while now, mate, and I'm really proud of this, I've got to say. All our tours are fantastic, and they're all a great experience, but this one's just a little bit different. It's unique. No other company is offering a tour like this, and it's just a brilliant experience all around.
Yep, it's something that came about, on your signature, or our signature tour. We had a chat about it, and chatting to clients, really, over the over many years about what they would like to do. And quite a lot of them at the end of a tour, whatever type of tour that they've been doing, would say, oh, I'd love to kind of get on the ground a bit more and follow in the footsteps of literally of a battalion or of a unit. And so that's the driving force, really, is to give people that experience of actually a lot of walking, a lot of getting grubby and getting our boots muddy and actually following battalions about on the battlefield.
It's going to be sensational. So we're talking, of course, the Western Front, where the Australians and other Commonwealth and British forces and French fought during the First World War. So famous places like the Somme and Flanders and Ypres and all these wonderful places that we often talk about on the podcast. And basically the tour is doing those sites, but in detail, really getting out there and walking in the footsteps of individual units. So it's not a general sightseeing tour. We don't visit any museums. We don't visit tourist sites. We just get out there and walk the ground. So if you're someone who's been to the battlefields of the Western Front before on a previous tour, or if you're someone who's considering going there for the first time but just wants to come away with a bit more understanding and doing the destination a bit more in depth, then I think this is going to be a really exciting tour for you. And what we wanted to do today was just to go through it in a little bit more detail, explain exactly what's going to be happening and why it might be a good idea for you to join us. Before we get into the meat of the tour, Pete, I wanted to ask you an important question. On our tours, we pull up in our car, our coach, we visit these sites, we do them in detail. We don't do anything frivolously. We spend quite a bit of time exploring these sites. But then we get back in our transport and we move on to the next site. On this tour, you'll be walking the ground in the footsteps of a specific battalion as you cross the battlefields, walking in their footsteps. Why is that going to be a different approach to what we normally do on a tour?
Well, I think the first thing to say is, of course, we'll be going out in whatever the weather is. So we'll be, as the men did, we'll be walking in on approach routes to the front line, as the men will have done, and it will give us a real feel. We're going to be following individual battalions so that we will talk about the big picture, but we'll be actually following in individuals' footsteps. And we will talk about some of those individuals as we're approaching the front, what's going to happen to them or what did happen to them. And I think there's nothing better than actually finding a location where you know absolutely that this battalion or this unit were actually digging in or moving or going into the attack across this landscape right in front of us. And so that was the key, really, in the driving force, to give people that extra feel of being on the ground and having the time to talk about that experience and what it meant to the men. And then, of course, to sadly go and see where some of them are in fact buried or where some of them lost their lives. So it's going to be the whole package of talking about a battalion, following in its footsteps, and we're hoping to do about 4 hours walking a day, maybe even longer, knowing myself, probably a lot longer, but that's the plan, to give people that real feel of being there.
Well, that was the brainwave, Pete, was to follow in a specific battalion, because some of these battles can be very hard to get your head around. There can be tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of troops involved in a specific attack over a very large area, and trying to work out a way to actually cover the ground in some sort of way that made sense, the brainwave was, let's pick a battalion on that battlefield and follow in their advance. It's going to be something really special. And the time of year we picked October to leave Paris, just after the Rugby World Cup, of course. There's going to be a lot of Aussies over there for the Rugby World Cup, so this will be something that appeals. But also a good time of year to do it. The fields are generally pretty clear of crops. The weather's still mild usually, and the days are long. It's going to be a nice time of year to do it as well, isn't it, Pete?
I think it's perfect, and it's that the fields clear of crops, which is interesting because there is a right to roam in France, so it means if you're not damaging crops, you can actually walk out into those fields. And I think that's an interesting aspect, that we can get onto the ground, and actually at that time of the year we can cross the fields and follow literally in their footsteps. Also, it's not too hot. We don't want it too hot, and hopefully it won't be too cold. And if the weather holds off, then more the better. But even that doesn't really matter. If you're wearing the right gear, then it's all part of the experience, really.
Well, let's talk about in detail what we're going to do, just about the experience we'll have on each of these battlefields. So we're starting on the 11th of October in Paris. I mean, not much to say about that. Come together in Paris. It's always a nice night to welcome the group together. But the next day we head out into the battlefields and we drive up into the Somme, reversing the order a little bit. Normally we'd be heading straight up to Ypres, but we're going to go to the Somme to kick this one off. And we're going to do two walks a day. That's the plan. I keep saying we as if I'm going to be there. I wish I was, but we as in terms of the collective we. Two walks a day, the morning walk on that first day, Mont Saint-Quentin, a late action in 1918, but it's a great one. It's an absolute cracker to kick off with, Pete.
Yeah, it's a very successful action. We're going to be following the 21st Battalion, so an interesting battalion, well recorded what it did on that day or on those two, over those 2 days. So it's a good place to start. A fairly not particularly strenuous walk as well, so we can ease people into the walking and lots to talk about. So I think it's a good place to start at Mont Saint-Quentin.
Still lots to see from the battle as well, trenches and heaps of things to see, good memorials and a good perspective of the battlefield. We went for battlefields that have not changed too dramatically. And so, you know, a battlefield like Pozieres, for example, a famous Australian battlefield, difficult to actually walk the battlefield today because there was no village there during the battle. It was a sea of destruction. Today there's a village which sort of gets in the way. So a battlefield like that, as famous as it is actually quite difficult to walk. But we've picked sites that still have a very strong connection to the war years.
Yeah. And the next one we're going to do actually is connected to Poitiers itself, because we're going to be doing the walk-in. So we're actually not going to be actually following the battle. We're going to be, in this case, following the men as they walked to the front line for the assault against Poitiers. And again, that's part of what we aim to do, is not just talk about the fighting, but to talk about the soldiers' experience. How did it feel for your first time to be moving onto the Western Front and going into action in a divisional attack? And so, yeah, Poitiers very much part of that, but it's that march in that we're going to be looking at for the second walk of the first day.
That's one of my favourite walks on the entire battlefields, and we did a podcast specifically on it, Pete, the approach march to Poitiers. It's absolutely fantastic. Charles Bean in the official history describes in detail what the men witnessed as they went up to the front line for the first time, having fought through Gallipoli, having retrained in Egypt, and now finding themselves on the Western Front, and just the approach to the front line on the Somme. Just remarkable. Park past Lochnagar Crater, up Sausage Gully. Just a great walk. Dead Man's Road. I mean, this is, we're doing it on the first day, but it's one of the best walks on the tour, in my opinion. Just a remarkable one, and not something most people ever do.
Yeah, and I think that's the key, is most people will do a little bit of it, perhaps, or go and have a look at Dead Man's Road, but to do that whole walk in almost from Albert will be, yeah, will be great.
And then day three, a bit of a closer look at 1916 and the fighting in the Somme, but not in the way you'd expect. A couple of interesting ones. So in the morning, your stomping ground, where you're coming to us from now, Pete, you know, Fleur. So we're doing the frozen battlefield in November 1916, the freezing winter battles of Fleur. That one's going to be an interesting one.
It is. I went out and walked part of this one today, and it's freezing. It's about -4 here at the moment, so I got the real feel of what it was like. And in fact, this day's walk is really, they're going to run together. So the first part is going to be looking at 1st Battalion, 1st Brigade, 1st Division, and its attack on the 5th of November, a straightening the line operation. And then we're going to be looking at casualty evacuation. And they will run straight together. So we're going to look at an attack, and then we're going to put our minds to what was it like if you were wounded in the front line, and how did you get out of the line, and how long did it take? And so we're going to be doing that walk, literally, that will take you out of the line and to the various aid posts and the casualty evacuation almost all the way back to Amiens. We're not going to walk all the way back to Amiens. We'll be using the coach for that that last little bit, but it will give us a really good idea of what it was like to be evacuated in that terrible first winter of 1916-17. So this is the one that I'm looking forward to, because it's my landscape, it's where I live, so I'm really looking forward to guiding that one.
Yeah, that's the afternoon walk, evacuating the wounded. Shout out to Andrew Bellamy, who's coming on the tour, and Andrew, this was his suggestion, and he worked with us on putting this together. He's one of our most regular guests on the tours, and this was a good suggestion of his. So, well, Pete, just on that one, what sort of things will we see? You know, we talk about the rear areas of the battlefield. I mean, I think most people would say, after a century, isn't it only the front line where you're going to see things left over from the war? What are we going to see walking the routes behind the lines?
Well, that's exactly it. We're going to be walking those routes, because the tracks that the men used as part of that evacuation route, they're still there. They haven't changed. The regimental aid posts that they're going to be dressed and effectively triages kept alive and moved further back. They are sadly now cemeteries, because most of the men were buried there that died there, and so we can follow a line of cemeteries as well. So there's an awful lot to see. The landscape hasn't changed, so the valleys that we'll be walking up, the gullies that we'll be following, are still exactly the same. And it's one of the great joys of the Somme. There's been very little development in the intervening years between 1914, 1918 and today. The villages are on the same footprints. The roads and tracks are roughly, some slight variation, but in the same places. Woods and trees replanted in exactly the same places. So it's a landscape that the soldiers would recognise. If you beam down a soldier of 1916 to here, he would still recognise the landscape, apart from the villages have been rebuilt, and of course most of them had been destroyed during the bombardments. Frontline wise, the same. There's no, the trenches are not there, but there are in the woods. You get remnants of shell craters, and sometimes you can follow the odd trench line. So we'll be following what we can see. But it's the landscape, really. It's getting that landscape and understanding the landscape and understanding what was going on, where the machine guns were firing from, why this was a problem. So all of that from the front line and the casualty evacuation.
It's a key feature of the Western Front, of course, that the routes and the way the men walked and how they got from one place to another was defined by shelter. You know, you were constantly under fire, you were constantly under observation. You wanted to make sure you didn't get hit when you were moving between the front line and the rear area, etc. And I'm always amazed, Pete, the number of times I've walked the battlefields and seen on a map or indicated in a book that there was a regimental aid post or an artillery position or a headquarters or something like that. And then you come around a little bend in a track and you see that there's a sunken bit in the lane, or there's a specific fold in the ground or something, and it's just a natural place of shelter. So, of course, every place they could find that was a natural place of shelter would have those medical posts, command posts, artillery posts set up in it. It's part of the experience, the joy of walking the ground.
It is indeed, and it's one of the things that I think it really brings it home to you, when you can actually see where a dugout used to be or where a cemetery used to be. One of the things we'll see on this walk is the site of a cemetery. It's no longer there. There's nothing there, but you can clearly see where the cemetery once had been. So it's fascinating. Lots of things that you would not normally see on a general tour.
And then the next day, a little bit further afield. We're still in the Somme area, but we're going further afield to a couple of very interesting sites that we don't normally cover in this much detail on an ordinary tour. In the morning, we're doing one of the most famous Australian actions, Bullacore, walking the ground at Bullacore in the footsteps of the Aussies, and a battlefield that is very much the same as it was in 1917.
Yep, and again, we picked a battalion heavily engaged, terrible casualties on that day, the 11th of April, 1917, 1st Bull Corps, and we're going to be following the 16th Battalion as it advances across no man's land, and we can walk exactly in their footsteps there. So again, it's a wonderful experience, because of course for the men it was an absolutely appalling experience, but to be there and understand where the guns were firing from, the German guns, where we were coming from again, and to have that time to follow in the 16th Battalion's footsteps, it's going to be hopefully very, very moving for most people.
Yeah, that'll be a good one. I think people will get a lot out of that experience. In the afternoon, one that I love. Again, two very similar battlefields in terms of they took place on a specific patch of ground that has not changed very much at all. And the ground was instrumental in the success or failure of these attacks. In the afternoon, we're doing Dernancourt, the largest assault, the largest attack ever faced by Australians during the war. This one is going to be fantastic, Pete.
Well, for me as well, I've picked something a little more interesting here. We're going to be following the 4th Pioneer Battalion. And this was their first real experience of being used in an infantry role. In fact, they end up being used in an infantry role. So it's interesting to talk about pioneer battalions and how they were raised and what was their reason for being raised and how were they used, as well as physically looking at where, in this case, they were overrun. So we're looking at a terrible day for the 4th Pioneer Battalion. But it's something that we need to talk about, and it's a great battlefield again, as you said, Matt, for observing it and following it and walking it. Couldn't be any better, really. I mean, we walked it not that long ago, and it's a fantastic place to have a walk.
Another podcast we did was on Dernancourt, so go and check that out. And Bullacore as well. We've done both of those on the
yep.
Battle Walks podcast, so go and check that out to get a bit of a taste of what we'll be doing on the ground. Day five, an important day. We leave the Somme and we head up to Ypres, up to the Ypres salient. And this is a really important day because we are doing nothing except driving to the beautiful town of Ypres and then having time at leisure to rest our weary legs and enjoy the sights of the town. So I think that will be a much-deserved day. And you were quite determined, Pete, that we have nothing in the schedule that day so that people
yep.
can relax, do what they want yep. to do, explore the town. And what a great place to do it, the wonderful town of Ypres.
Yeah, and I think it's important when you're on a tour that's going to involve a lot of legwork. We're going to be doing a lot of walking, I'd say 4 hours a day or more. So to have a day where we don't do anything, where people can just relax and go and have a beer or several beers and a meal and go and casually look at the Menin Gate and just enjoy. I'll be pointing things out to people where they can go. But I'm going to suggest that most people, what they do is relax and go and have a beer and something nice to eat and have that day as a rest day.
Can I throw in a disclaimer at this point, Pete? That's the second time you've said 4 hours a day of walking. This is a direct shout out to everyone who's considering coming on the tour. I think that is highly underestimated.
I agree.
If you are now planning to come on this tour and you're thinking about, okay, I'll go and do some work in the gym and gear myself up for 4 hours a day, you might be a little overwhelmed with yeah. how much walking you'll actually do. No, it's going to yeah. be great. None of this is a bad thing. This is going to be amazing. But no. I cannot imagine covering these incredible sites in 2 hours. The reason, I think, is not because you'll be walking further. There's only so
Correct.
Many specific places you can walk. But at each site, you will be talking yeah. and discussing.
I know where you're going with this.
Yeah. So even though there might be 4 hours of walking, the tours will, I think, go for longer than, that during the course of the day.
Absolutely. The 4 hours of walking, I was really meaning a continual walking. It will take thereabouts 4 hours. But no, a four-hour walk with me talking could be 8 hours. So easily.
None of this is a bad thing. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So we've had our day of rest, and now we've got a couple of days to explore the wonderful Ypres salient, some incredible battlefields, quite different to what we've seen in the Somme. A lot of them will be shorter than the Somme, simply because of the nature of the fighting in the salient. I don't know why I'm laughing. It was horrific. I'm laughing with dread and horror at the mere thought of it, but the fighting in the Ypres salient was so compact in that area that so many men died in such a small area. You know, the bite and hold attacks, which, would eventually yeah. have won the war if the Germans had died of old age. Just a fascinating area, Pete. Quite different in terms of the walks. And the first one we're going to do on the first morning is Polygon Wood.
Yeah, it is. And not as easy, I have to say. I'm still tweaking these tours because they're not easy ones to organise because we haven't got a right to roam in Belgium and a lot of the fields are fenced, so we can't go straight on following a battalion action. So we have to zigzag a little bit, keeping to tracks and roads. So a little bit more difficult and yet interesting as well. So Polygon Wood, we're going to be following the 31st Battalion of the 8th Brigade, 5th Division. I felt that was a suitable one to follow. So we're going to be having as much as we can follow their route. Of course, in the wood itself, not so difficult, but we can't see a great deal from in the wood. So we want to spend a bit of time outside the wood, orientating ourselves and chatting about their experiences. So that's the morning walk. And then in the afternoon walk, a little easier, Broodsind, following the 40th Battalion, the Old Tasmanian Battalion. And that's the other thing we've tried to do as well, is spread around the battalions that we're following and units that we're following from different parts of Australia. So we're not following units all from one part of Australia as well. So 40th Battalion, Tasmanian, and their assault, which basically finishes up at Tynecott Cemetery. And that's a great one. That one you do get a feel from start to finish. You can follow in their footsteps there.
Gives you a rare opportunity to actually see these famous ridges, you know, Broodsind and Passchendaele Ridge, to actually get an impression that it is an uphill walk. You don't get that impression too easily when you just pull up at Tynecott and look back towards Ypres. But it's a good one. I've done this walk a few times myself, and a really good one, and some pretty savage fighting. We mentioned the Australians. We are following Australian units here. We're obviously Matt McLaughlin Battlefield Tours is an Australian company, mostly for Australian passengers. But I do want to say that there is some opportunity if you're someone listening in the UK or America or Canada or one of our other international places, New Zealand, you would still get a lot out of this tour. We expect most of the tour will be Australians, but I think we will get a smattering, Pete, of our international guests, because it's a unique experience to walk the ground, and it's even if we're not walking in the footsteps of someone from your home country, to get a perspective of what the men went through in the battlefields is going to be quite extraordinary.
Well, I think so, because we'll be talking about the tactics and what the men are carrying, and across the Empire forces, of course, it's the same. So it doesn't vary. The tactics that we're using and developing as the war went on are across the board. So it's relevant to everybody. So just because we're following a certain Australian unit across their action, you can mentally, if you are following somebody else and you have an interest in another British battalion or a New Zealand battalion or a Canadian battalion, etc., then you can juxtaimpose all of that information on that battalion as well. So I think it's of interest to everybody.
Day 7, Pete, this is going to be a really interesting one. A couple of things that, you know, we don't go anywhere near on a regular tour. And yep. A couple of angles of life in the war that we don't get much of an opportunity to explore. The morning walk, standing fast at Meris in the face of the German spring offensive in April 1918.
Well, this is one that I'm really looking forward to actually doing a bit more work on. I have to say, it's not one that I know particularly well. I will by the time we get out there, but I go there rarely. Because it's not on anybody's radar, really, and so it's and yet it's an important action again, and it's the first division. This time we're going to be looking at the 10th Battalion and their experience at Mont de Meris. So it's one that I'm really looking forward to, because I know that there will be almost nobody on the tour that will have actually walked this ground before, or perhaps even visited it before.
It is overlooked on the... I mean, I use that term too much, but this is overlooked because we do discuss Australian troops holding up the Germans in April 1918, but that's in Villers-Bretonneux, way down on the Somme. And we forget that up in the north, right up on the border of Belgium, the 1st Division was doing incredible work, also holding up German thrusts as they tried to get across that ground. I have walked this ground a little bit, but not for a long time, not for 10 or 15 years. And Meris, Meteran, Strazil, these places up in the north, you know, the scenes of some very costly and significant battles for the troops involved.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's a really important location. And actually, for those guys that are missing in this area, of course, they are commemorated at Villers-Bretonneux, so a long, long way from where they sadly lost their lives. So I think there's a lot to talk about the fighting here, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Some fascinating chapters too. That one of the most haunting descriptions of this fighting was the one that Bean described in the official history, where he had a report from troops that they were gathering and digging in and expecting the Germans to turn up. And for some reason, the Germans just must have gotten confused about where they actually were. But it was an entire, we'll say a regiment or a battalion, like a huge force of Germans were assembling to prepare for an attack, but in full view of the Australians, where the Australians were digging in. And they described it, they could see lines and lines of men marching in and their officers riding around on horses directing them, just in full parade formation. And the Australians just called in the artillery, and the artillery, you know, they said they'd never seen so many men killed in a single barrage. They absolutely wiped them out. So, and you can still stand in that spot, and you look down this gentle slope, and there's a gap in the trees, and you can still see exactly where it happened. So a couple of really interesting aspects of the fighting that we don't normally look into.
This is the day that I'm really looking forward to, I have to say, from a personal perspective.
And the afternoon, behind the lines around Cassel, this is something I haven't really done much of at all. Tell us about this one, Pete.
Well, we will be doing it because I'm going to be doing a podcast about it quite soon. So I think it's a place that I've always been interested in. Cassel is up on a mound, and it's in French Flanders, so again it's in France, but from there you can see all the way to Ypres and to the coast. So it's an interesting site, fought over in both World Wars. But it's where Command and Control was based. Senior French commanders, senior British commanders are going to be based there. There's also billets for men there. There was a casino, so it was a place where officers went to rest. So there's just so much going on there. Famous artists working there. Brothels, of course. So there's a lot of things to talk about. So
Something for everyone, Pete.
And I just thought it went in nicely with the tour because we're talking about marching to the front, getting evacuated from the front, successful attacks, unsuccessful attacks. I thought we need to have a look at behind the lines. Let's do something that's totally brilliant behind the lines that we can have a walk around. So
it's going to be fantastic.
Again, looking forward to this day. It's an interesting day.
And that's the second last day of walking. The final day is the day we head back to Paris from Ypres, but we've got one more walk in the morning. And this is going to be a great one as well. Messines. We're talking about Monash and new tactics, but this is not tactics that we would see in 1918 at Hamel and on the 8th of August. We're talking about what is really the first all-arms battle of the war. I mean, that's a debatable topic, but I'm going to call it as Messines on June 7, 1917. The great explosion of the 19 huge mines, tanks and artillery working together, troops advancing under cover of long-range fire. A really interesting battle and a great one to walk the ground.
Yeah, it's one of my favourites, and I talk about it quite a lot when we're on the ground. One of the aspects that I find fascinating is the briefing of the men. The men were fully briefed, models built that they could actually have a look at, so they knew what was going on, they knew who was to the left, who was to the right, exactly where the Germans were. So a very different action. Of course, famous from an Australian perspective because it's going to be the Australian 3rd Division. It's their first battle and they're commanded by Monash. So it's the start of the rise of Monash. So there's an awful lot to talk about. But again, we're going to be following one battalion, so the 33rd Battalion in this case, and their experiences on that first day, the 7th of June.
And then, sadly, back to Paris, where we're going to... Well, not sadly. We're going to head back to Paris with fond memories and sore legs, no doubt. And then a farewell dinner and a chance to exchange memories, and then the next morning the tour will end. But, mate, well, let me ask you this. What do you think people will come away from this tour with? How will their perspective of what it meant to fight in the First World War have changed?
Well, I think the most important thing that I'd like to come away with is feeling that they've experienced a little bit more about what the men went through. So that walking to and from the front, looking at the battles in detail and walking the front lines, I'm hoping that just that walking will give people that little bit more of a feel and an experience of what it was like. But I'm also hoping that they'll come away with a greater understanding of tactics, because there's nothing better than being on the ground and actually looking at the ripples in the ground and understanding why the Germans put a machine gun there, why we had to take this out with an underground mine, or where we had to bring down a barrage on this area. So I'm hoping people will have that greater understanding of the tactics of the Great War and the changing tactics of the Great War. And I think that's important. But it's the landscape. That's the thing that I think most people will be amazed at. For those that are perhaps perhaps been on other tours or perhaps even one of our tours, but to actually do a lot of walking on the ground and walk in, walk out, understanding why this little ripple in the landscape is known as a valley, and yet it hardly feels like a valley, but when a machine gun's firing at you and when you know where that machine gun's firing from, that little ripple in the ground does take on a greater significance. And I think that's the most important thing that people should take from the tours and should enjoy is actually the understanding of the landscape.
That's going to be brilliant, mate. We didn't mention this, but you, of course, are a military man. You're a Royal Marine, and this, you know, you're going to, the people on this tour are going to be walking the ground with someone who knows all about it. It's going to be fantastic, mate. What a great experience! Thank you for all the hard work you've done on it, by the way. It's been, it's been a labor of love for both of us. But I know that you're out there now, actually walking the ground in preparation for this, even though we're nearly a year away from this tour actually taking place.
Well, I'm making sure it's only going to be 4 hours a day's walking. But I think it may be a lot more.
It'll be a lot, 4 hours walking and 40 hours of talking. But no, it's our battle tactics on the Western Front tour. It departs on the 11th of October, 2023 from Paris. It's going to be a hell of an experience. If you are in any way interested in getting an understanding of what these men went through, this absolutely is the tour you've been waiting for. So get on board it. I'll put a link to in the show notes to the tour on our website, but the website is battlefields.com.au if you want to join us on that tour, and I'd encourage you to. It's going to be an amazing experience. Pete, thanks for your hard work on this tour, and thanks for taking the time to come and talk to us about it.
Pleasure, Matt.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review for the podcast, and visit livinghistorytv.com for more great history content.
Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook to learn more about each episode. And if you'd like to support the podcast, you have a couple of options. You can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/PGMH, or consider subscribing to the podcast for only £2 per month and get ad-free listening and bonus content. You can find links for both on our Facebook and Twitter accounts.
Sounds great, doesn't it?